It's all about the macro productions.
Flashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to January 16th, 2024. The clean face of a dirty business. If you want to turn some of your soon-to-be-worthless fiat currency into actual money, then check out my friend Tony Arterburn with Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Set up a monthly buy with Wolfpack subscription as low as $50, or roll over your IRA and 401k into physical precious metals. You can even use your Bitcoin to make purchases. Go to macroaggressions.gold, promo code macro for free silver. Now please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangled in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, fan.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. We really do. We've got a new website. Want to go check it out? Macroaggressions.io. The link is down in the descriptions. Not .com. Some asshole has macroaggressions.com. So it's macroaggressions.io. And if you want to go check it out, please do. It's very lean and mean. Not a whole lot of clutter, kind of the way I like it. Hey, listen, thanks to our sponsors. They really do help out this show a ton. Chemical Free Body has been with us from the beginning, and it's a new year. And this is the time when people make all these resolutions. They're going to get in shape. They're going to take care of themselves. I hope so. It's never too late, right? It's never too late. So if you want a good place to start, go to chemicalfreebody.com and take a look at what they've got over there. Supplements that work. Detox bundle. Start the year off. Do the detox bundle. It's 90 days. It's real easy. It's just drink the green stuff in the morning and take a handful of capsules. That's it. You don't, no enema, no nothing, no probing, none of that stuff. It's quite literally a 5-minute process. So the whole thing. So take a look. Chemicalfreebody.com is the place to go. The promo code is macro. And also, the people over at Legal Shield know what they're doing. They've been doing it for half a century in the United States and Canada. They get you access to a lawyer for real cheap, $1 a day, $30 a month. Oh my goodness, this is a really affordable product. So take a look, see what you think. They built a website specifically for us, don'tgetpushedaround.com. I didn't have to get .io on that one, so luckily, but you can go to don'tgetpushedaround.com and take a look at what they've got. They've got all kinds of items there, like a la carte features you can add to your package. You can add ID Shield. You can add small business plan for somebody that carries a gun. They have documentation for that. This is a really great program. It really is. It is in a world where you're getting ripped off for everything. I cannot believe this is as cheap as it is. It is $30 a month. You get 10 years of money's worth on this thing if you just go and knock out all the documents that you need. Your last will and testament, your medical directive, your financial power of attorney, all of that stuff needs to be done. Do you have it done? Do it this year. Like, do it, sign up for this program and do it in the first month. You know it's going to cost you a couple grand other ways. So you got to get it done. So I don't know. Take a look. See what you think. I'm not going to twist your arm, but go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. I'm not going to push you around. just go over to the website and see what's cooking over there. And of course, in Acapulco, it's coming. It's coming the second week of February 2024, February 11th through the 16th. It's an entire week of fun in the sun. You can go to anarchapulco.com and use the promo code MACRO there for a discount to come see me. I'm hosting it this year. I'll be there all week. If you see me, come say hi. I'll be running around like a crazy person, but that shouldn't stop you from coming over and saying hi. So, all right, now we got the business out of the way. Now, I've been talking about this family sort of in and out for the last couple of years. They've been on my radar. I've had people that have reached out to me and said, when are you going to do an episode about the Pritzkers? Oh, well, guess what? Today's the day. This is a really interesting family. Not interesting in a good way either, but like those multi-generational, super wealthy families that want to transform the world because they've bought everything with a price tag on it. Now they want to change the education system and they want to change the way you think, and they want to change the way you view the family, and they want to change the way you view your gender, and they want to change all these things. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to wait till the very end of this episode, this family is run by psychopaths. Each one is crazier than the one before, and it's multi-generational. Like, I'm pretty sure they've got the crazy gene in there somewhere, but they're really good at business. I mean, I guess you're really good at business if you have no ethical or moral hangups that get in your way, right? If you don't have a problem fucking over everybody that you do business with, you can get really rich. But I don't know. You have to live with yourself. Apparently the Pritzkers, they don't have a problem with that. They're into everything. We're going to get into that. We're going to detail as many of them as we can. Most of them are up to no good. There are a few of them that are up to like the rich person's equivalent of twirling in the parking lot at a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, some of them are like yogis and Buddhists that teach Buddhism and everything. And I mean, look, must be nice, I guess, if you've got $2 billion. I'd rather you be teaching Buddhism to people than trying to change their gender. And some of the members of the family, they're doing that, I assure you. So let's get into this. Let's talk about the Pritzker family, shall we? The old man, Abram Pritzker, old Abe, he was born in 1896. He went to Harvard Law School, and he started a law firm called Pritzker and Pritzker. And they're a very tight family of Ukrainian Jews. This law firm that they started, this Pritzker family law firm, came out of, they're all based in Chicago. Almost all of the, even like the yogi people, I think a couple of them are in San Francisco, but for the most part, they're in Chicago. And they run the town. I mean, they really do. This is a very well-connected family. So, here's how they got started. The old man Pritzker was basically the Chicago Mafia's attorney. Okay. He was, he represented what the Chicago mob was called the Outfit. And, he was like a front man of sorts, you know, for the Outfit, or, you know, as they like to think of it, he was a clean face for a dirty business. So we'll start with that, right? When you start there. So this guy, you know, you think about like, you think about the Mafia, they're always up to no good, of course, but then they hide their illegal businesses behind legal front companies. And they usually put a front man out in front. If you've ever seen the movie Casino, you know about that. When they're trying to take over the casinos in Las Vegas, they had to have a front guy who was totally clean. I mean, in the eyes of the law, he was clean. He didn't have a record. He didn't have outright mob connection. And they'd put him out there and they'd say, no, we're not running this. He is Bob the banker over there. Yeah, he's running things. And that's what Abe Pritzker was. he was the guy they stuck out there, and they go, the mob was like, no, we're not running this. Abe is running this. We're not running this. Well, they were running it, and Abe was their, he was their face man. He was the guy that was out there sort of taking the, getting them out of trouble. Of course, you got to have a lawyer to get you out of trouble. And he was deflecting criticism, and he was saying, listen, you know, these guys are, you know, say what you want about these guys are upstanding business people. I mean, listen, I look at me. I'm a upstanding lawyer. I wouldn't be involved with people if they were going to get me into a lot of trouble. This is fine. Right. Like the dog with the fire around him. This is fine. Don't mind the dead bodies stacking up here in this Chicago gangland murder spree that's going on. Everything is cool. Abe Pritzker says it's fine. And listen, he would never get us into any sort of trouble, right? Right. So let's do this. Let's talk about what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into each of the family members. But first, let's do kind of like a Pritzker family overview. Okay. So the first guy I mentioned was Abe, and that's the grandpa. And he was, he started this, he made a lot of money. He really kickstarted this whole thing. One of the things I've noticed is that each one of these generations that takes over for the one, they're pretty good at it too, at making money too. They're not sitting around, playing dominoes and watching TV. These guys are out there running things. So, you can say what you will about their methods, but you can't accuse them of being lazy. They certainly were up to all kinds of things. There's 11 of them. There's 11 of them. And the reason why everybody knows that there are 11 of them specifically is because of the family business divorce. And what had happened was that the Pritzker family was very, very tight, and everything went into this big family. I don't know if it was actually a trust. It was an offshore structuring that was set up a long time ago by the grandfather. And the thing about it is that the offshore corporate structure that they have is completely illegal right now. It's not legal, but they had the structure in place before it became illegal. So they have been grandfathered in. So, you know, they went through this, so for like 70 years, they were growing everything inside, legally inside of this offshore trust, which was not getting taxed, which is fine with me, but it wasn't getting taxed, and it was growing and growing and growing. And it got to a point where some of the members felt like they were doing, you know, once it got into like the newer generation, like in the last 25 years or so, some of the members felt like, hey, you know, we're doing all the heavy lifting here. And like, this guy's fucking off in the corner going to yoga retreats and everything. And like, there's no way like my share is the same value as his share. He's doing nothing to grow the family empire, and I'm doing all the work. So I think we shouldn't divide this up evenly 11 ways. I think that since I put so much work into this, that I should get more. And so it started this internal battle between these guys. And eventually it was settled in 2001. And what they decided to do with it, and this is the reason why everybody knows there's 11 of these people, and they're all billionaires, is because they said, all right, we're going to take the pie, which was $15 billion, and we're going to divide it 11 ways. And what that wound up doing was it gave everybody $1.4 billion. So you have 11 people, and they each got $1.4 billion worth of value out of this portion of the company. Now, it's complicated, of course, because they owned hundreds of companies in this. They owned all kinds of, some of them were massive companies, some of them were smaller companies. And so dividing that whole thing up was a bit of a pain in the ass, you know? And so, you know, and they were limited also because of this corporate structure that they had. It's like, we don't want to screw that up, because as long as we've got that, we don't have to pay taxes. And, I like the idea. I do like this. I will say this about the Pritzkers. I like the idea of using the government's own loopholes to withhold paying taxes back to the government. You know, I like it when they create the situation where they've created this loophole that if you exploit it, if you choose to exploit it, if you know how to exploit it, you put yourself in a position where you no longer have to pay any taxes. And the government came up with it. And I like that somebody out there is like using the government against themselves. So it's I think it's based as hell, but that doesn't mean I like these people. And it certainly doesn't mean that these people are on our side, because they're not. They're worth a combined $33 billion right about now. They own hundreds of businesses, from aviation to hotels to cruise ships to like Royal Caribbean. They own the company, Royal Caribbean. They own banks. They basically run the state of Illinois in general, and they own Chicago. I mean, they just own it. They've been there forever. They were in it when the mob was running Chicago. And as the face of the mob, you know, they sort of got in early and got themselves a lot of, they got a lot of real estate. They got a lot of businesses, but most importantly, they bought influence. And they are so influential now that the idea of going after them in Chicago will have the exact opposite effect that some ambitious politician or police chief or whoever decides that they're going to make their bones by going after the Pritzkers. Yeah, good luck. You know, good luck. They can make you, though, if they like you. They can turn you into somebody that's well-known, even well-respected. I mean, if they like you enough, they can make you president. You think I'm kidding? Exhibit A, Barack Obama. Barack Obama would not be the president of the United States without the Pritzker family, period, end of story. I mean, they were deeply involved with him. Not just his presidential campaign. They weren't just some people that were like, oh, we'll kick in some money because he's from our hometown. No, no, no. Early 90s, these guys were grooming him. They saw something in him, a minor league player out of Indonesia. I mean, definitely not from another, out of Kenya? No. Definitely not from another country. And if you say that I am, I'll have you murdered, right? Lady in Hawaii that had his record. But I digress. My friend Corey Hughes tells me that there are a bunch of occultists too, the Pritzkers. That I don't know for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're in the club. So they steal from each other. Then they sue each other. Then they settle it to make it go away. Then they gag order each other so nobody can talk about the lawsuits and the stealing and everything. But it eventually gets out. And so we know what they're up to. They're awful people. They're terrible people. You know, like, if you had $1 billion, you could do such good with it. You could invest it and say, oh, I'm going to grow a bunch of it. I'm going to spend a bunch of it like a crazy person. But then I'm going to do some good stuff with it. I'm still waiting for the good things that they've done. They donate a bunch of money to hospitals, but the hospitals they donate money to are all involved in like sex change operations and things like that. So, and they donate to art museums, architecture museums to get their names on it, but that's a tax write-off. So I don't give a shit about that. They're not saving the world. They're arrogant egomaniacs that want their names everywhere. That's what they really want. So I'm not about to give the Pritzkers a pass on any of this stuff, because I know who they are and you're about to know who they are as well. So let's get into this. Let's get into some of the people in particular. So when Abe Pritzker, the grandpa, the guy representing the mob, he had three boys: Jay Pritzker, Robert Pritzker, and Donald Pritzker. Let's start with Jay. He died in 1999 at the ripe old age of 76. He was a Northwestern grad from Chicago, Northwestern University. Northwestern University is located in Chicago, and that is, it's a really great school. And it's just been a home for these guys for a while. Jay Pritzker created this company called the Marmon Group, M-A-R-M-O-N, Marmon Group. It's a really boring company. It's like a consortium of other companies, and it's manufacturing and it's rail cars and it's lumber and it's travel industry items and things like that. And he started that with his brother, Robert Pritzker, who's also dead, died in, well, we'll get to him in a minute. But they started this company, these two Pritzkers, called the Marmon Group. And in 2007, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, came in and said, "We like what you're doing here. We like boring businesses that generate a lot of revenue and profits. So are you interested in selling this company?" So they sold 60% of the Marmon Group. This is back in 2007. So we're talking about, you know, a little over 15 years ago. They sold 60% of it for $4.5 billion. It's a lot of money, right? And if you just kept that, and I don't know the details of the transaction, but if you kept that in Berkshire Hathaway stock, you'd probably be pretty stoked right about now, because I think their stock is always going up. So I'm not sure exactly how that transaction was finalized, but either way, $4.5 billion for selling 60%. By the way, you still have another 40% of it. So you're still talking about another $3 billion sitting over there somewhere. Jay Pritzker and his brother, Donald, the other brother. So he started Marmon Group with one brother, and then he started the Hyatt Group with the others, with the Hyatt hotel chain. That was back in 1957. He bought this hotel with his brother, Donald. And then from there, they started expanding, buying more and more and more. And the next thing you know, all the Hyatt hotels that you see are owned by the Pritzkers. And that's not an inconsequential number of hotels, too. It's a massive worldwide hotel chain. I mean, everybody knows about Hyatt. So so they've owned that for 70 years. I mean, talk about printing money, man. Wow. He also owned Ticketmaster for 11 years before he sold that out to Paul Allen for $325 million. I mean, these people make money. They know what they're doing, right? They know how to make money. And sometimes they do well. Sometimes they get into industries that don't necessarily do super well. They owned Braniff Airlines from 1984 to 1989. And look, I mean, people actually liked Jay Pritzker. They thought he was a good guy. I mean, they sort of like, the word on the street was that, like, he was really good at business. He was extremely busy with all of his with all the work that he was doing, but he wasn't like his son. We're going to get his son, Tom Pritzker. We're going to get to his son. But you know, there's always some, I always have questions about these really wealthy intergenerational families when you get somebody from the family that kills themselves early on. And that is what happened with Jay Pritzker's daughter, Nancy, killed herself at age 24. It always makes you wonder, like, especially when you come out of a billionaire family, like, okay, like, what are you sad about? You know? And I know it's more than just like, it's not money buys happiness or anything like that, but you sure get to pick your own misery, right? I guess, unless there's something else going on. And I'm just speculating because I know that these people are horrible. So I have to wonder if Nancy killed herself because of how things are in the Pritzker family. That's speculation on my part, to be clear, but I'm just throwing it out there. I'm wondering. So I mentioned his son, Jay Pritzker had a son, Thomas Pritzker. You may recognize his name recently. He's been in the Epstein files. Oh yeah. we're going to get to him in a second. But he took over the empire for his dad in 1995. And then proceeded to steal $1 billion with his uncle, Robert, and Jay's brother, of two of the kids' trust funds, and had to pay it back. We'll get into that in a second. I know it's like, wait, what? You stole $1 billion from their own kids? Yeah, I told you they're horrible people, right? I'm not kidding when I say that. Let's move on to Robert Pritzker. Robert died in 2011 at the age of 85. I should mention he's a co-creator of this Marmon Group, which was sold 60% of it for $4.5 billion. And this guy was, he was kind of like the brains. He wasn't necessarily the business behind it, but he was more of the engineering brains behind it. He taught 9 courses on industrial engineering at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. And I don't think it was the Booth School of Business name when he was teaching there, but that's what it is now. Grad school for you want to get your MBA at University of Chicago, then you go through the Booth School of Business, top 5 business school. I mean, really, really well respected in terms of that. So he's great at buying and turning around companies because he was a hardcore engineer and he understood the companies that they owned with this Marmon Group were really like engineering heavy, you know, the like I said, rail cars and manufacturing and lumber and things like that. It's not pretty, it's not glamorous, but if you do it right and you've got a great distribution network set up, you can make a fortune with this. And of course, if you do it long enough, like these guys did it for like 60 years of acquiring companies and adding them to this portfolio and managing them and bringing in smart people. And when you've got billions of dollars, you can bring in the smartest people that can make these companies work even better. So this is what Robert Pritzker did, right? So he was the hardcore engineer of the family, taught a lot of classes and everything. And he had some kids. He had a son named James, but you can call him Jennifer, if you know what I mean. Yeah. I'm confused. It was a retired Army reservist for 16 years. You know what? We'll get to it later. we'll get to it later. And then the third brother, or the third son. Yeah. The third son of Abe Pritzker, the third of the brothers, was Donald Pritzker. Now, he died in 1972 at the age of 39 of a heart attack in Hawaii. It's possible to die at age 39 of a heart attack, for sure. My dad died at 46 of a heart attack. So I know it's possible to die at 39 while you're in Hawaii of a heart attack. I also know that when you're worth a couple billion dollars, you know, I get paid to be suspicious when I got nothing to be suspicious about, as Wilford Brimley's character said in The Firm. I mean, I just have some questions. He was really the driving force behind the Hyatt Hotel expansion. He started that with Jay, and he really ran with it. That's why he was in Hawaii when he died, was because he was there for part of Hyatt's expansion into Hawaii. And he had some kids, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was 39 when he died, but he had 3 kids before that. And you may recognize a couple of them, Penny Pritzker, Anthony Pritzker, and somebody named J.B. Pritzker, governor of the state of Illinois. Interesting. Well, we'll get into him in a little bit as well. Let's start with Thomas Pritzker. So you get the old man, the grandpa, who is the front man for the Chicago outfit. Then you get the 3 boys. Jay, Robert, Donald. Donald dies young. Jay and Robert live to be 76 and 85, build up a huge ass business, sell it off for billions and billions of dollars, and have kids. Let's talk about the kids. Let's talk about Jay Pritzker's kid. Jay is the one that co-started the Marmon Group, co-started the Hyatt Group. And Jay was really sort of thought of as the leader of this, of the 3 brothers. And then he had a son named Thomas, and Thomas sort of carried that role and became kind of the leader. He was running much of the Pritzker consortium from 1995 onward. And if you take a look, the name didn't always ring a bell. I saw a picture of him though. I went back through just research purposes and I found a picture of him and I was like, oh, I totally recognize this guy. I thought that guy was a politician. And it's easy to understand why I blurred that line, but I recognized his face from seeing him being interviewed so many times. But I really kind of mistakenly assumed that when I was seeing him in the past, he was some like senator or something. I did mention he was an Epstein associate, didn't I? Well, he is. And he also was deeply involved in the Aspen Institute, which is a automatic disqualification in my book. It's a he was a Hillary Clinton's second largest donor, which should give you an idea. Of course, again, when you come out of Chicago, you get that leftist Midwest flavor of, I don't know what you want to call it. I was going to say Democratic Party, I guess. Let's just call it that. I mean, it's hard to call it a party. But that's Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, Barack Obama. And then Hillary Clinton came in, not out of Chicago necessarily, but she was in that group with a lot of these people. And, you know, Tom Pritzker loved Barack Obama. Tom Pritzker is the one that launched Barack Obama's career back in the early 90s. Okay, so if it wasn't for the Pritzkers as a family, but Tom Pritzker in particular, Barack Obama would be working at Wendy's. You know what I mean? Because he'd be nothing without this guy. And of course, you know, listen, I mentioned Aspen Institute. If you're at Aspen Institute, you're one step away from being World Economic Forum. Of course, he is part of that group. Listen, I want to explain to you what kind of a scumbag this guy is. All right. When they're dividing up all those assets, that $15 billion 11 ways, when they were doing that back in 2001, they did a financial accounting autopsy, right? An audit, but like a deep one, right? Because you're looking at something that's been kind of under wraps, hidden behind the murkiness of offshore banking havens and corporate structure and all this stuff, corporate structure that's not even allowed anymore. So there's a lot to unpack here. And when they finally dug around, I'm sure old Tom was like, I hope they don't find, you know, like, I hope they don't find the strangulation marks on the corpse. You know what I mean? Well, they found it. All right. The proverbial ones, at least, because you see, Tom Pritzker stole four companies from his own family. He stole them. He moved them into a trust that was created. Same thing. Once everything was sort of created inside the bigger trust that's sort of off limits. And so within that, he created a trust for his mother-in-law. And he moved the four companies into the trust that his mother-in-law owned, free and clear, moved them in there. Not without his name. He didn't have his name on it or anything. It's just in the mother-in-law's trust. And then he had the mother-in-law move them from that trust into a trust that he controlled. That's how he stole it. And when they took a look at what was going on, they found this. They found that the guy that was basically running the family was also stealing. It's one thing to steal money. Dude was stealing companies. Okay. He's just putting them in different names. He was moving them from one corporate shell structure to another. You know, he was just taking them, thinking nobody will ever notice. And they probably wouldn't have, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that, they decided to break up this company into smaller chunks. And in doing so, they really went through all of it, like dug up the graveyard, so to speak. So, yeah, so they got busted and the financial disclosures showed it. And by the way, not an inconsequential amount of value in these companies either. $525 million, right? So he stole a lot of money from them. And so there's a lot of distrust. But see, he runs the company and he runs it pretty well. And the family can't really argue with the results of the output of these companies, of this giant Pritzker conglomerate that they're in charge of. But he's stealing from them. And on top of that, he set up this weird kind of, almost, I guess it's like a commission or bonus structure inside the family unit, so that if you bring deals to the table and they get financed, then you get a kickback, you get a commission, right? And they had a term for it and everything within the family. It was known. That wasn't a secret. They knew that if you wanted to bring deals to the table, you could get paid on it. The problem is that Tom kind of had favorites in this group, some that he worked with more so than others. And he was overcompensating some members of his inner circle, and it was rubbing the other people, the other members of the family, the wrong way. As an example, Penny Pritzker, who was in the inner circle, and Nick, his second cousin, was in as well. And they were getting these massive kickbacks, like commissions that were disproportionate to the amount of work that they were doing or to the amount of money that they were actually making. So it was it felt very, it felt unfair to the rest of the family members, to the point where, you know, this was part of the impetus for them wanting to split the companies up, because they were just like, we don't really like working with you anymore. The companies he stole were Western General Insurance, that's based in Bermuda, and he stole Triton Holdings, which is shipping containers. He moved to Abigail Marshall Trust, that's his mother-in-law's name. He moved it into Abigail Marshall Trust as her trust. And then from there, he moved him back into his trust. This is 75% stake in these Pritzker controlled companies. So yeah, but that's kind of what they're known for. They're known for the Pritzker family. I mean, to be known for having offshore trusts is a weird thing to be known for. But everybody knows that when you're dealing with them, that that's what you're dealing with. It's not to say that most, you know, that other rich people don't do this. Most of them do. But their network is just kind of known to be really, really crazy. So when I say that they own, you know, like a conglomerate of businesses, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Hyatt Hotels. I'm talking about the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. TransUnion Credit Bureau, TransUnion, sorry, Marmon Group. 50% of their wealth comes from the Marmon Group. So very boring manufacturing companies. Superior Bank of Chicago, McCall's Magazine, and Braniff Airlines. Not to mention, quite literally, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other companies inside this, companies that you and I have never even heard of. So Thomas Pritzker, the guy leading this, he's worth $5.3 billion individually now that they've broken this whole thing up, and you can kind of get into what he's got. That's what he's got. He's got about $5.3 billion. He's the richest one out of all of them. Let's talk about Penny Pritzker, shall we? This is, she's a huge problem. I would say between Penny and Tom, I'd say Penny probably had as much influence in Barack Obama becoming president as her uncle, cousin, Tom had. She was deeply involved in getting Obama elected to president. And as a reward for that, she became Obama's Secretary of Commerce. So you put the billionaire manufacturing company family in charge of the commerce of the United States. What could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what could possibly go wrong. She was deeply involved in the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, under Barack Obama. She was the driving force behind the TPP. And a lot of people were like, this is terrible for the working guy, maybe good for big business. Well, of course it's good for big business. That's why Penny Pritzker was involved. She was the CEO of TransUnion. They sold that company in 2010. TransUnion's a credit bureau. They know everything about you. They know what you spend your money on. They know how much debt you have, they know where your credit cards are, they know what your house is, if it's paid off, if it's not, they know if you have student loan debt, they know everything. This is a very dangerous company with that information, and they get hacked all the time too. But this is a dangerous company, But it's even worse that it was run by a dangerous woman on top of that, who has some very nefarious ties to, her entire family is tied into organized crime. So this is not exactly going to set your mind at ease. She was supposed to divest herself of the interest in 221 companies that she has ownership in, and when she was nominated to be Secretary of Commerce. And she said she did. She said she divested herself, but then the Paradise Papers exposed that she never divested herself of this. She just lied, because they always lie. And she just moved him into more offshore corporations. So she never divested herself of anything. So, I mean, I don't know why anyone would be surprised that she lied about that, but she did. And not to mention the 221 companies, she was also a member of 158 different entities and boards of directors. I mean, she's a busy beaver over there. She's got a lot going on, and her net worth is $3.1 billion. So she's got a lot of money to play around with, but she did crash Superior Bank of Chicago, and 1,400 people lost their homes and life savings because of her. I'm sure some of that $3.1 billion could go to help make those people whole, but that's never going to happen. She was the Carnegie Endowment chairperson. I mean, as if spending the Pritzker's money isn't bad enough. You have to spend the Carnegie's money too. And I have no idea how much money the Carnegie's had in that endowment. But if somebody told me they had $1 trillion in there, I don't think I'd be the slightest bit surprised. Part of what I said, that the way they had the structure set up within the Pritzker family, was that they would pay out income. You know, they'd pay out consulting fees to the members of the family. And just to give you an idea of how much a consulting fee could be, if you were Penny Pritzker, 1 year got a consulting fee from her family business of $53.6 million. Okay. So I don't know what sort of good advice she's giving them, but in my opinion, she's the last person in the world that should be consulting on anything, because you may know her and you may have heard her name recently, because her current role as senior fellow at Harvard, the highest position at the Harvard Corporation, means that she was the one responsible for the hiring of Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, the woke plagiarist that just got run out of town and still gets to keep her $900,000 a year salary. But of course, because, you know, mistakes were made. Who's the driver of the diversity, equity, and inclusion? It's Claudine Gay. And who put her in position to do that? Penny Pritzker did, because she's a destroyer of culture. That's what they do. They destroy. They can't build anything. You know what I mean? With regard to culture, they can certainly build businesses. We know how to build businesses. The Pritzker family knows how to build businesses. But when you come out of that Chicago leftist mentality, you're talking about Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. We're talking about Clower and Piven. We're talking about destroying the current system by breaking it, by overloading it with so much stupidity that it collapses under the weight of its own idiocracy. That's the leftist mentality of Chicago, and the Pritzkers run that. Okay, so they installed Barack Obama. They installed Claudine Gay. They finance all of those mayors, all those woke shitheads like Lori Lightfoot and that new Brandon Johnson guy, who's maybe even dumber than Lori Lightfoot, which is a real amazing feat. But I'm going to say, I mean, he doesn't dress like her, though. She was a special treat to see her outfits. So, but let's move on from Penny, because the leader in the DEI area in the Pritzker family is actually not Penny. I mean, you may think it is. It's quite a notch on your belt to be the person that hired Claudine Gay and also got Obama hired in his job as president so that he could subvert the Constitution. But Penny Pritzker isn't even the craziest person in her family. That honor goes to her brother, James Pritzker. But like I said, you now know him as Jennifer. He's a she. And she wants the world to know she is the first transgendered billionaire. You want to talk about stunning and brave and rich. That would be James Pritzker. So James was, when we talk about the transgender movement, and you start to, you go, you know, this doesn't feel organic to me. It feels very manufactured. It's made to happen. It feels like a fad, like a gimmick. There's a ton of money behind it. There's coordination. There's a real push. You see government bending over backwards to, you know, put third bathrooms in or to give you more, you know, special parking places or what, I mean, whatever sort of bonuses the trans community gets. While claiming to be the most persecuted group in America, they're actually the most protected. The number one person financing the trans agenda is Jennifer Pritzker, formerly James. I will accept both James or Jennifer on the test. Yeah, I'll give you full credit. They finance this. One of the reasons, or and one of the avenues that they chose in order to push this was that they started financing the hospitals that do the transgendered surgery. So if you were a hospital that said, we'd love to take your money, but we're not really in the trans game, you're not going to get any money. But if you're a hospital that says, yes, we like that Nashville hospital that was like, oh, we do all the trans surgeries and everything, Pritzker's will give them money. Jennifer Pritzker will finance that. And that is because James, it's very confused, James, Jennifer. When James, he was in the military and is massively behind the DEI push inside the military as well. That's why General Pronouns is out there talking about how we've got to, we've got to use the preferred pronoun grouping when we're talking to our enlisted service men and women and cakes or whatever gecko gender or whatever the fuck they are for that day. The reason why it's coming from the top is because there's money there, and that money is there because of the Pritzkers. They want this to happen. They want your kids to be confused. They want your kids to be broken. They want your kids fucked up forever. That's it. James Pritzker is a lunatic who became Jennifer Pritzker because he's fucked in the head. And because James Jennifer Pritzker is fucked in the head, they have billions of dollars, they want your kids to be screwed up too. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. There is no goodness in this. Trans people have 6-time higher suicide rate. Explain to me that 3-time higher alcohol rate, 4-time higher incarceration rate. Can't get jobs. Over 50% of them have contemplated suicide. 1 in 5 will kill themselves. So there's no benefit in this. This is a crazy idea being financed by these people. I like James better when he was super into Antarctica. He was into Antarctica, which is probably not a good thing. Let's be honest. He's worth $1.9 billion. Slacker. You better get that up. Your penny's worth 3.1. You're never going to catch Tom with a 5.3. Now, if you keep giving it away to the clown world situation you've got going on at the hospitals, but you can, that's who you can think when you start to hear the talk about the transgender agenda, and then you see the name Pritzker in it and you go, oh, it's a lady named Jennifer. Just remember that the lady named Jennifer used to be James. I'll be honest. If you see a picture of it, of her, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You're not going to be confused. Like, sir, excuse me, sir, I'm not going to say it. Let's move on. John Pritzker is a man still. I mean, and he runs a private equity company called Giolo. John Pritzker is worth about $2.5 billion. And what John does is John is still taking that hotel hospitality industry game and working on that, changing it a little bit, partnering with the family behind the Thompson Hotel to team up and buy hotels together. And they've done that. They're based in San Francisco. They sold off recently for a little over $500 million, their group that they had put together. So, you know, not financing a ton of political stuff, not financing a ton of not into the trans, more into hotels. So, we'll give John a pass because John's, I mean, listen, compared to Penny and James, John's downright boring with his $2.5 billion net worth and all his hotels. It's like, but are you trans? Move on. Or are you the governor? No, you're not. Your brother is. Let's talk about J.B. Pritzker, shall we? He is a tremendous piece of shit, in case you haven't noticed already. He's the governor of Illinois, has been since 2019. He co-owns Pritzker Group LLC with his brother Anthony. J.B. Pritzker, you've seen him before. He's that tubby guy. He's the governor. He looks like a prick. You just look at him and you go, that guy, I bet you that's no fun to work for that guy. He's worth $3.6 billion. He co-owns Pritzker Group LLC with his brother Anthony. Anthony's worth $3.7 billion. So, you know, these guys have got a lot of money. One of the things that makes J.B. Pritzker a tremendous piece of shit, he should put that on his business card, is that he gave the lockdown orders and violated civil rights of the people. That's not my opinion that he violated the civil rights of the people. That's according to an actual judge who judged him on it and found him guilty of doing that. So why he's the governor of Illinois and not in Guantanamo Bay is beyond me. I don't know. I suppose that I just am, you know, assuming that justice will be done. I'm not really assuming justice will be done. It's a fantasy of mine. Justice fantasy, you know, never going to happen. Because if it were going to happen, it would have happened a while ago because he was caught on an FBI wiretap with Rod Blagojevich. Do you remember Rod Blagojevich, the guy with the crazy looking hair who got busted? And he was caught on the, you remember Blagojevich got busted for the wiretap by the FBI. Do you know who he was wiretapping? J.B. Pritzker. That's who was on the wires with him. And you know what they were trying? He was offering to appoint him to the state treasurer in exchange for money for his campaign. Pritzker was going to donate money to his campaign. And in these wiretap conversations, it's clear as day. You can hear him say, you know, he said, Blagojevich said, well, you know, like I could put you, know, we could be like state treasurer. And what Pritzker said on the wiretaps was, quote, yeah, that's the one I would like. So he's buying the office of state treasurer from Rod Blagojevich, who went to prison for doing this. J.B. Pritzker didn't go to prison for doing this. He became the governor of Illinois. You see how that works? When you've got billions of dollars, you don't go to prison. The other guy goes to prison, you know? So one of the things that Pritzker does, he and his wife have a foundation. Of course, you have to have a foundation. And you know what they like to donate to? They donated to a group called Center for American Progress. Does Center for American Progress ring a bell to you? I know they all kind of sound the same, but this one was formerly run by Neera Tanden, who's a shithead. But that's not the most alarming part of it. No, see, Center for American Progress was started by John Podesta. And we all know who John Podesta is. It's not good. So, you know, some people might call him Skippy if you've heard the tapes. And I'm not talking about Pritzker. I'm talking about Podesta. So these guys are all connected. They're all friends. They all hang out. They all go to the same party together. I bet sometimes they go out to, on Friday nights for pizza. Wink, wink. Maybe even fly in $65,000 worth of hot dogs from Chicago. I wonder who would be in charge of putting that together. Would it be Podesta or would it be Pritzker? I don't know. Maybe both. Why not both? He's a member of the World Economic Forum, but I'm sure you're not too surprised to hear that. And he did something. He launched the Illinois. This is so stupid. He launched the Illinois Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. I mean, it might as well just be called the Total Horseshit Bill of 2024. The Illinois Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. And this is in addition to the Rebuild Illinois plan that he put together, which is a $45 billion infrastructure boondoggle plan. And and he called it Rebuild Illinois. Not you could have called it Build Back Better Illinois. Why didn't you? You had a prime opportunity to call it that. You missed it. I mean, you know, you being a World Economic Forum member and all, you'd think that you'd use the same branding. Oh, Biden did it. Remember? He said, "But we're going to build back better." Everyone's like, "You mean like the World Economic Forum?" He's like, "Yeah." Well, Pritzker's involved in that too. He's trying to build back better too. But he wants equitable jobs. He wants equitable climate jobs. What is that? Transgendered Eskimo midget that fixes your air conditioning? Like, what are we talking about here? I don't know what an equitable climate job is. I don't think there is one. I think that's kind of the point. There isn't one. It's just $45 billion down the rabbit hole. You know, just gone. And one of the things they say they want a million electric vehicles by 2030. 2030, you say? You mean like Agenda 2030? Oh, I'm sure that's a giant coincidence, right? They want 100% clean energy by 2050. They're fucking grifters. They are grifting so hard here. And you just know this money is disappearing. You just know it, man. And of course, Illinois is well run as they're just exploding at the seams by all these migrants. We're a sanctuary city here in Chicago, except that we can't handle all the refugees. Well, then tough shit, I guess. Bring back Lori Lightfoot. So that's J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, World Economic Forum guy. He's worth $3.6 billion. He gave the lockdown orders. He's caught on an FBI wiretap. He's friends with Podesta. He's donating to Podesta's PAC. He's donating to, he's involved in climate change stuff. He's involved in equity stuff. His sister's involved in diversity, equity. I mean, these people are running... They're cultural Marxists. That's what they're doing. They're subverting the United States. You'd think they wouldn't, considering they made a fortune here. You'd think they would want things to stay the way they are. Like, we've got a great grift. We know everybody. Everybody knows us. We've got all these manufacturing companies. We can lock other people out. Like, why change the game now? You're winning. If money is the barometer on this, you're winning the game. Why in the world would you want to change it? I'll tell you why. Because it's not about the money. When you've bought everything that has a price tag on it, you go looking for things that aren't for sale, like the way America runs. And they're deeply involved in the education system too. But I know, you're very surprised. You're clutching your pearls right now. Daniel Pritzker, let's move on to him. He's a brother. He's Thomas's brother. Thomas is way more ambitious than this guy. This guy went to Northwestern. He doesn't do much. He's got $2.4 billion. He sits around and as far as I can tell, does nothing, which is fine. I'll take that. I'll take do nothing over all this stuff. You know, like Linda Pritzker. Linda Pritzker is a Buddhist teacher and a political act. I don't like the political activist part, but she's a Buddhist teacher. She's worth $2 billion. Good. Go sit on a mountaintop and get enlightenment and stay out of everybody's way. Take your $2 billion and just, I don't know. You're a political activist. I would say give it away, but I'm afraid of who you'd give it away to. There's also Gigi. Gigi produces movies like Ender's Game, which shows the Earth overrun by insectoid aliens, which is not great, but maybe predictive programming. I mean, I'll be honest. At this point, bring on the insectoid aliens. I'm ready for it. She's worth $4.2 billion. She's a big time movie producer. She's not making billions of dollars producing movies. I assure you, I've seen her movie credits. They're average at best. I mean, they're better than my movie credits, but I also don't have a $4.2 billion to put into movies either. So if you got that much money, I'd say that her return on equity or her return on investment is rather poor. But whatever. At least she's not trying to turn people into trying to turn boys into girls. And then there's Nick Pritzker. Nick Pritzker is one of those favorites. He was the favorite of Tom. Had two favorites. He had Nick Pritzker and Penny. And these are the ones he was giving these massive kickbacks to, these commissions that they were for bringing deals to the table. He's the chairman and CEO of Hyatt Development Corporation. He's a co-founder of something called Tau Capital. And Tau Capital was very early on in SpaceX and Tesla and Uber and Juul, the vaping company. Not a surprise, because one of the things the Pritzkers were into is they owned a bunch of chewing tobacco companies back in the day. I think they divested themselves from that a long time ago, sold it to R.J. Reynolds. And, you know, he stays out of the politics for the most part. But so this is what I'm... There's one last thing I want to mention about these people, just so that we, you know, we say it, and it's one of the things that really worries me. I mentioned that they're involved in the schooling, and that's a thing that whether you're the Carnegies or the Rockefellers or Bill Gates, you want to have this impact on how education runs and how kids. See the world. You can control it at an early age. We know this. And the sooner these people get their hands on your kids, the quicker they are to change the way they view the world. And of course, when you've got a family that's heavily investing into sex change operations for children and saying that if they don't get it, then these kids will... Well, they'll just kill themselves, and that'll be on the parents. That'll be the parents' fault for doing that. Well, look, statistics say they're probably going to kill themselves anyway. I mean, there's a 1 in 5 chance they're going to kill themselves. 50% chance that they're going to think about it. So this is what I'm worried about. Their agenda is to go after shaping the minds of kids, the Pritzker Family Foundation, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation started something called the First 5 Years Fund. And this is for learning programs for low-income poors that can be indoctrinated just like the Rockefellers and Carnegies wanted to. So we had that 100-plus years ago when the Rockefeller dynasty and the Carnegie dynasty joined forces to create the compulsory schooling industry. We watched the Rockefellers then break off, and you could read the Flexner Report and see how they took over and consolidated the medical university system in their image. And now you have the new agenda. You have the new generation of billionaires, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Pritzker Family Foundation, joining forces once again, just like the Rockefellers and Carnegies did, to reimagine the learning process, but specifically targeted towards low-income kids. Now, if you know what you know about Bill Gates with depopulation, and you know what you now know, if you didn't already, about the Pritzker family and their tendency towards transgenderism, look, add that with Common Core, and you're going to have a generation of kids that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They're going to be completely screwed up, mentally disjointed. Unable to count, thinking that 3 times 4 equals 11 if you can show your work, thinking that there's always been 3 bathrooms at the school, thinking that men can get pregnant, and if you say otherwise, you'll get it wrong on the test. And, you know, and allowing Bill Gates, who is a known eugenicist, to partner up with you so that you can help out. I want to just ask the question, why are these multi-billionaire families so interested in educating poor people? You know they don't give a flying fuck about poor people, right? They don't care about any people, but they specifically hate the poor people. They see them as useless eaters. They talk about this stuff right to their face. They have no respect. They don't care. But they're very quick to want to help them with the education. Doesn't that ring any sort of alarm bells to you? It's like the pedo guy that wants to be a school crossing guard. You're like, I think this is a bad idea. I think your proximity to these kids is a bad idea because we know who you are and we know what you're into. And we know that you want to be around these kids for a reason, whether you're a pedophile crossing guard or Bill fucking Gates. We know what you want to do to these kids. You want to get rid of them. And so when I say that they're a horrible family, man, I'm not kidding. I wish I had better news. I wish I could tell you that the Pritzkers were all just a creation of the media. Well, they're not. And I think that we need to be, over the next couple of years, keep your eyes on them, because they're not going anywhere. There's too many of them. They've got too much money, and they have a really extremely devious agenda. So keep your eyes on the Pritzkers, because they're definitely ones to watch. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can go to the brand new website, macroaggressions.io. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.